We're back with the Faith in Freedom show. I'm David Allen Carmichael on the Eagle 104.3 FM for the Liberty Works Radio Network. Today I'm going to talk about something that's very, 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 very desperately important. I'm really incensed at how insane we as a people have become. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk about an issue that's a political issue. And I'm going to hopefully, whoever's under the sound of this radio broadcast will have their thought processes, as I sometimes say on this Faith and Freedom show, you're going to push reset. And why do I call it the Faith and Freedom show? I'm going to go through my radio shtick. I talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis. Yes, a biblical basis. Isn't that crazy? And the basis of right versus wrong. The constitutional basis is something that we can all talk about because it affects every one of us. Every piece of legislation that comes into the United States is there because of an enactment of a constitution. What those pieces of legislation should say, or what actions a court should take, or what actions an executive agent should take in enforcing these laws, those are important questions. And what is your basis of right versus wrong? How do you determine what is right or wrong? I will tell you that right will actually bear fruit that is good. When I go back to the English common law, read the commentaries of Sir William Blackstone, he says that laws are based upon that which is right and those things that are wrong. Basically, citing those things that are right, enacting those things that are right, or enforcing those things that are right, and prohibiting those things that are wrong. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk about something that's heavy on my heart. Y'all watch the Little Rascals. They had this thing about, oh, Mrs. Crabtree, there is something that is heavy on my heart. Chubsy Ubsy was going to say something sweet to his teacher, Mrs. Crabtree, but there's something that is heavy upon my heart today, and it is this issue of in utero infanticide. In America, we have this issue of in utero infanticide. We have this profession, we have a business, we have an industry whereby people are murdering human beings. They just do it behind closed doors, so to speak. They do it in the closet of the womb where nobody's looking. And if we can kill somebody inside the womb before they come out, everybody's happy. Everybody makes money. It's part of the economy, right? It's industry. See, we can kill people inside their wombs, and then it's okay. It's inside the closet. It's hidden. You can't see it. You know, whatever you do, don't turn on the monitors, those electronic things we have now that we can actually see inside that closet. But what we're doing is we're killing people. And I'm done. I'm finished. I'm fed up. And I realize that if I don't do everything I can in my power to push reset on the minds of America and say, hey, guess what? This is on our backs, guys. This isn't happening in China. This is happening in America. I mean, today you might think, oh, he's one of those mean-spirited conservative talk radio guys. Well, you know what? I am kind of irritated because, you know, we've been asleep since 1973. This is the title of my discussion today, The Shedding of Innocent Blood. Today we're going to talk about, today on the Faith and Freedom Show, we're going to talk about the shedding of innocent blood. That's what we're going to do. I think what I'll do first is give you a little bit of entertainment. I'm going to play a audio clip from a young lady who was, I heard on the radio on Friday, and I thought it was so good. But let me tell you about it. Let me tell you the background. This is a person who was inside the closet of their mother's womb. And so the mother made a contract to pay a doctor to inject saline into the mother's womb. And this chemical solution is supposed to poison and burn the human being inside that closet. And when they die, you know, hopefully that'll inspire the mother's body to spit the baby out, or the dead person out of that closet. Under the guise of terminating this pregnancy, instead of just saying, okay, we're going to deliver the human out of the closet, and then you will no longer be pregnant. In fact, at a normal term delivery of a baby, that is called a termination of a pregnancy. You are no longer pregnant. As soon as that extra, what do you call that big thing? The big thing that comes out after the baby. I'm getting brain damage here, but all you mothers know what it is. The placenta. After the placenta comes out, you are no longer pregnant. Your pregnancy is terminated. So instead of terminating the pregnancy by delivering the baby at whatever day of the week it is, they're killing the baby. You see, they're not really interested in delivering the baby or terminating the pregnancy. What they're really interested is in killing the human being inside the closet. So this person was injected with saline. And when the mother terminated the pregnancy by having the baby, they were hoping the baby would be dead, of course, killed inside the closet where there's no harm and no foul and everybody makes money who's doing the work. But what happened is this little baby happened to survive the saline and to this day has really only got a cerebral palsy problem. And the abortionist wasn't there, so the abortionist did not kill the baby outside the closet. See, most they'd say, well, the intention was, what is it, terminate the pregnancy or is it to kill the baby? Well, the abortionist, because that's what they do, they kill the baby. Well, the abortionist wasn't there, and the nurse that was there took the baby and took it off to the medical hospital, got the baby in the incubator, and this baby is here today doing special things for every one of us. So I'm going to have Chris play a clip from this lady. Her name is Gianna.
I remember when I was at Children's Hospital and USC School of Medicine, two-pound babies usually didn't survive, even if there hadn't been an attempt on their lives, and yet you did manage to survive. It's pretty obvious the Lord had something in mind for you, isn't it?
Yeah, He upholds me, has all of my days, and even from the womb. But yes, my parents were 17, and my biological mother was 7.5 months pregnant when she had a saline abortion, which was meant to burn me both inside and out. And the doctors have also said that I should be blind and all of these horrendous things. And yet I've just been left with the gift of cerebral palsy.
Was there a heroic effort to save you?
Well, praise the Lord, the abortionist was not on duty the moment that I came into the world. I was actually delivered in an abortion clinic. Had he been there at the time, it was considered perfectly legal to, he could have ended my life with strangulation, suffocation, or leaving me there to die. But a nurse called an ambulance and had me transferred to a hospital. So then I was placed in the incubator, weighing 2 pounds, and they said I would die. And yet I just kept on living.
What kind of a people are we that would do something like that to a helpless little baby who's lying there dying?
Yeah.
And yet there are those who would be in favor of giving no care at all.
And sadly, I think there are those even in our own culture that would look down on me even today because
now, you shouldn't have survived.
Because I bear a weakness. Mm-hmm. And yet, we can learn some of the greatest lessons from the weakest among us, and we lose if we exterminate them.
Well, that is a audio clip from that was on Dr. James Dobson's radio show on Friday, and I was driving from a speaking engagement in Indianapolis, and I was probably in Kentucky by the time I heard that. What really inspired me, I'm going to read to you something. This is a gentleman I know who sends out a newsletter. And he said this was probably his shortest article that he's ever written. And I'm going to read it. It says, on Friday, September 26, 2008, a United States congressman stated that his office had received more than 300 phone calls opposed to the $700 billion bailout for American financial firms and only one call in favor of it. Today, Monday, September 29, 2008, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 777.61 points, the biggest ever one-day point drop in stock market history. On Friday, September 26, 2008, as on any other day, more than 3,700 babies, 3,700 babies were butchered in the sanctuary of their mother's wombs. That's in the closet, folks. Murdered in the closet. Healthy people murdered in the closet. 3,700 on that same day. We worried about that day's stock market adjustment. And Mr. Bill Cook goes on to comment, when America's pocketbook is threatened, phones ring off the hook. When the womb is threatened, no phone calls are made and only God hears the helpless cries. America's hemorrhaging will not abate unless and until our nation repents of the sin of abortion. I call it in utero infanticide. Even if our nation does repent, we may only be able to reduce or delay the inevitable. For we have sinned against great light. Now, this article inspired me. You know, we're all focused on 9/11, aren't we? And probably, I think 3,700 is more than the number of people that died in the 9/11 attacks. That's daily, folks. Daily closet destruction, in utero infanticide of the most innocent and most defenseless people in our society. And guess what? No growth in numbers are going to really cut back on the housing industry in the future. We'll be back.
I dedicate this song to every little girl who died before she ever looked into her mother's arms. And I dedicate this song to every little boy who died before he ever saw green meadows or blue skies. Oh, the little ones, God loves them so. Oh, the little ones, do we think he doesn't know?
The Little Ones, a very important song. I was just amazed by it. And you're going to hear another part of that song, kind of part two, part three, things like that. This matters to you. As I said, and I've said before, how are you going to have a housing market function when you're killing your posterity, when you're killing the people who are supposed to be buying the houses? Hey, 1973, that was 36 years ago. 36 years ago, Roe versus Wade started a cascade of in utero infanticide. Those people today, that was 36 years ago, you would have 1.5 million more 36-year-olds, well, divided by two. Let's say they're married. Okay, so 750,000 possible new house purchases this year, except for there was 1.5 million people murdered in the closet of the womb for the sake of convenience. And for some sick, warped thing about thinking that we've got too many people on the planet. Sure, I guess because you don't want those who are pulling the strings to be overrun with people with brains. They have a survival instinct, right? You'd be outnumbered. This is an important thing. We're not going to be unaffected by this catastrophe, this horrible thing. How many children have been murdered? What, 30 million? What, in 30 years, 1.5 million? That's 45 million people. Hitler wasn't close to that, folks. That's what we're doing. So what are we going to do? And, you know, we heard something in the news where there was a gentleman who was killed. Somebody, I guess he came out and said that he had gone out and killed thousands of little human beings. And so somebody took it upon themselves to exercise vengeance. Now, in the Bible, it says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. We're going to be listening as you listen to this broadcast, and you're going to hear about the details of Roe versus Wade. We're going to find out what the basis of this issue of in utero infanticide is and why somebody might be protected under the law from killing somebody in the womb. We're going to review Roe versus Wade and how they evaluated what the law has been for centuries. And what they did, they made a mistake. They never read the law that has been for centuries. What they did is they read commentaries on the law. And they took it way out of context and ignored things that were so clearly obvious that would go contrary to the Roe versus Wade decision. By the way, I have listened to the oral argument in the U.S. Supreme Court. It was lame. Whoever it was arguing on the behalf of Texas, lame, 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 lame. And I'd go to jail if I went to argue that case to save millions of lives because I'd be practicing law without a license. I'm telling you, the guy was lame. It was horrific. But we stood idly by. Nobody was paying attention. Nobody cared. We're trying to care. We're trying to push reset on our thinking. We're trying to get us all back into the place where we'll be willing to take responsibility for our society. So we'll be back with Eagle 104.3 FM, and we're going to continue with a very important subject. We'll be back.